Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Jonah, chapter 3. Jonah, chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Jonah, chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. We're going to read all three of these verses in unison. While you're turning there, I'm going to read yet one other passage. You're turning to Jonah, chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. I'm reading Genesis, chapter 35, verse number 1. God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau, thy brother. Now, Jonah chapter 3, we're going to read verses 1 through 3 in unison together. Ready? And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. I'm going to read yet one other verse to you. Luke chapter 15, verse number 18 reads, I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Now let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us today. Thank you for the name of Jesus. Thank you for the person of Jesus Christ that came to put on a robe of flesh to pay for our sins. Father, thank you for our church and your presence here. The Holy Spirit of God, work through our preacher today. Fill him with your power. May we have your power on our lives as we listen to change our lives, to go out and reach more people for you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
I am not real smart when it comes to the computer. I'm trying to learn it. My wife taught me how to Google something. Now, at first, that doesn't sound like a good idea to me. But I found out it's not all what I thought that it would be. And I Googled the title of my sermon. My sermon title today, I call it A Fresh Start. A Fresh Start. When I put the two words fresh start into the, the web thing, Google program or whatever it is, I found out that someone had a debt fresh start program. Someone had a marriage fresh start program. There was somewhere out there a career fresh start opportunity. They had a fresh start type of a system for people that are struggling with their mortgages. They had for alcoholics a place where they are offering the possibility of a fresh start. They had mental health fresh start clinic. They had a drug addictions fresh start program. Let me say this to you. All the Fresh Start programs in the world cannot surpass God and the church's Fresh Start program. This idea of a fresh start was originated by our God and His mercy and His kindness and His goodness to us. Earlier, we were reading some scripture. You heard the scripture as we read about some people. And though maybe as you were reading it, you did not immediately recognize that the thing of a fresh start was the text or the common thread in all the verses that we read. You know, all Christians, from time to time, we need a bit of a fresh start. No Christian has ever fulfilled every resolution or promise that they've made to God, and every once in a while, we need to renew some of our drive and some of our intention. We need to renew some of our promises to God. Nobody's ever kept all their vows to God. We're sinners, and we know that. Now, but thank God that God is a God of a second chance. I thank God that God tells us story after story of those in the Bible who experienced a fresh start with God. God is a God of a second chance. God is a God of restoration. God gives us the hope of a continued opportunity to serve Him. I'm so glad that when I got saved, though God wanted me from the day I got saved until the day I die, He wanted me to live right and do right and to be exact in His will for everything. But I am so glad that God in His infinite knowledge knew that I might get off track from time to time, and He made made sure that if I did, he gave me hope, and he'd give me a second chance, and he'd give me a fresh start. In Jonah, we find out the Bible actually says in that passage that you read earlier, the Bible says, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah a second time. Oh my, is that good news for you and I? The Bible says that God came to Jonah a second time. I'm glad that God does not come to us only the first time. We'd all be in a whale of a mess if God only came to us the first time. It's a real good thing that our God is interested in us after we spoiled his first call. He said, well, I've got another call for you. I've got something else that you could do. I found out in looking in the Bible, some of the greatest Christians that you and I know were people who, they took advantage of the second chance that God made available. Jacob had a second chance. Moses had a second chance. Samson, he was allowed to have a fresh start. Peter was given a bit of a fresh start. The prodigal son was allowed a fresh start. May I ask you a question today? Do you need a fresh start? Somebody here today, you need a fresh start with Jesus Christ. You need a fresh start in your Christianity. There might be somebody here today, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And if that's the case, we can get you a fresh start on life. We can give you a new purpose for life. How would you like to have a new life in Christ Jesus and a fresh start? God offers a fresh start. Now, there are two ways that this sermon needs to be applied to your life and to my life. First of all, I want us to be reminded that God offers you, God offers me a fresh start. And for that, I am grateful. But then secondly, folks, you and I, not only should we be concerned about the personal aspect of a fresh start, you and I need to learn to be concerned that we give others a fresh start, that we give others a second chance. In the Bible, some of the very heroes that we exalt got off track and at some point in their life, but God offered them a second chance. God offered them a fresh start. But not only did God offer some of them a new opportunity to get things straight and get things right, but others offered them that opportunity. But not only did God offer them a chance for a fresh start, not only did others offer them a chance for a fresh start, but they accepted it. I have to tell you, there's a God that will give you a fresh start. There are some people that are good enough Christians to give you a fresh start, but you may have to humble your pride enough to come accept the fresh start. That's one of the harder things. But it's there. These people, historically and biblically, that we would virtually consider our heroes, many of them, they accepted the fresh start, and they, today, have gone down in biblical history. They wouldn't have, probably, had they not capitalized on the opportunity of the fresh start. The fresh start. I want to talk to you about that for a while today. I hope you'll listen to me as I preach a sermon that I've entitled, A Fresh Start. A Fresh Start. You take, for instance, the first person that we'll examine is Jacob. Jacob had a fresh start when he went back to Bethel, the house of God. Let me read to you from Genesis chapter 35, verse number 1, where it says, And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Now, if you'll listen to me, let me tell you a little the story here of Jacob. Jacob fled from his brother Esau, and God met him at a place called Bethel. He was asleep with his head on a pillow. It was a pillowless stone. Jacob had a dream, seeing a ladder reaching from heaven to earth and angels coming and going on that ladder. And Jacob says at that time, Jacob says in Genesis 28:16, Surely the Lord is in this place. Surely the Lord is in this place. And just so you all know, surely the Lord is in the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church of Martinsburg, West Virginia. There is Jacob. He is at the place called Bethel. And there at Bethel, Jacob vows that the Lord would be his God. He vows to tithe on all of his increase. See, the word Bethel there, it means the house of God. In the next 10 years, though, of Jacob's life, he had some ups and downs. Now, he meets with God here at Bethel the first time. But things begin to wear on him. Life begins to wear on him. He gained some property. He grew a family. At least one of his wives began worshiping idols. One of his daughters was ruined or soiled by a young prince. Two of his sons, in a murderous rage, assassinate the entire male population of a city. People everywhere begin to turn against Jacob, and Jacob becomes a bit backslidden. Now remember, he had met with God at Bethel once before. And now, 10 years have passed, his life has slidden away from some things, and life has gotten rough, and he's faced some reversals in life. But God speaks to backslidden Jacob and tells him, get back to Bethel. Get back to Bethel. What did he say? What was he saying? Get back to the influence of the house of God. God offers Jacob a fresh start at the house of God. Somebody here today needs to have a fresh start in regard to your relationship with the house of God. Somebody needs to get right with the house of God. Church used to be the highlight of your week. Now you come if you feel like it. You need a fresh start. You need to adjust your thinking about the work of God and the house of God. You used to come to be blessed at church. Now you come to criticize. Now you come to see what you can gather so that you can frustrate the work of God. Oh, no, we shouldn't be like that. Somebody here needs a fresh start in regard to the house of God. Do you now look for and create excuses for not coming to church? Somebody needs a fresh start. You know, there's an attitude that I hope all of us can develop in our lives and with our families and with our children and among our mates. We should never give anybody the impression that we've got to go to church, but it always should be that we get to go to church. Make sure that you're always working on the got to go and the get to go. That's an issue. You have a better attitude if you say, I get to go to church. It's an honor to go to church. It's an honor to have an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Bible-preaching church. Hey, we've got that privilege. We've got that honor. Hey, we get to go. Now, some of you, that's not your attitude. And you need a fresh start in regard to your attitude about the house of God. God and his people, we are to offer a fresh start to others about church. There are people that come to church and they need a bit of a fresh start about church. Church, hey listen, our church has not changed. Have you? Have you? Do you need a fresh start in regard to your attitude about church? Do you need a fresh start in regard to your attitude about the things of God? Now listen, nobody who sincerely wants to come to church should ever be hindered by somebody else. Everybody deserves a fresh start. There are some people that are afraid to come to church because they're a little afraid on how you will treat them because they've been away from God. Listen, folks, let's let them have a fresh start. Let's let them come back to God. Hey, you may be next, my friend. You say, well, I never knew what they did. You could do anything that anybody else could do, and if it were not for the mercy and the grace of Almighty God, we'd all be in a mess. And you better just make sure that you don't put your nose in the air, you arrogant Christian. If somebody's fallen away from God and they want to come back to church, bring them on. They're welcome here. And your nasty old attitude of being a Pharisee, you ought to knock it off and miss off and realize something. People need a fresh start down at the house of God. Maybe you need a fresh start in regard to the house of God. God wants you to have that fresh start. And I think God's people ought to want that fresh start too. You see, here I see that Jacob had a fresh start when he went back to Bethel. People need a fresh start in regard to their relationship with the house of God. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not glad that our country has gone through everything it's gone through from the day that Osama bin Laden and all his cohorts attacked our country to now. We've had a lot of reversals. It seems like we've never gotten our balance. But I'll tell you this. If all that will bring people back to the house of God, I have to tell you, God wants to get something out of the burdens of the United States of America. I wish America would wake up and realize what they're looking for. It's not in the White House, it's in the church house, and it's time for America to come back to God. I believe God wants America humbled. I think God wants America to stop being arrogant. Remember, this is one nation under God, and that flag that usually flies here behind me, that is a flag that was given to us, and it is in honor of the God that gave us religious freedom. But I say to you, we need a revival. We need a fresh start about the house of God. Secondly, I see in Jonah's life, he had a fresh start. But wait, in maybe a bit of a different area, Jonah was given a fresh start in regard to his obedience to Jesus, his obedience to God. I'll read to you again. It says in Jonah 3, verse 2 and 3, "Arise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." So Jonah arose and went into Nineveh. Let me remind you of Jonah's story. God came to Jonah and commanded him to preach to that great city called Nineveh. Jonah disobeyed and he ran from God. At Joppa, he paid his fare on a ship and started his journey to a far country running from God. Disobedience. God prepared a storm that would sink the ship on which Jonah rode. The sailors of the ship called upon sleeping Jonah, and they said, "Hey, Jonah, call upon your God to save us." Jonah had to confess to those sailors. He said, "I'm backslidden. I'm running from God. There's a storm upon us." And the Bible teaches it that they cast him off of that boat into the sea. When they cast him off the boat, God had prepared a great fish. We say it's a whale. God had prepared a whale to come and to swallow Jonah up. Jonah ends up getting right with God. There he is in the belly of that whale, and he gets right with God. And then that old whale barfs Jonah up. The word of the Lord comes to Jonah, and the Bible says, as we read in the introduction, the word of the Lord comes to Jonah a second time. Oh my, I'm going to guess old Jonah, while he was in the belly of that whale, he wondered, I wonder if I'm ever going to get another chance to obey God. I'm going to picture him while he's in the belly of the whale, he's saying, "I'll obey now, God. Give me another chance. I want to obey." And the Bible says the word of the Lord came a second time to Jonah and says, "Arise out of the barf and go to Nineveh." And this time Jonah obeyed and he went, and maybe the greatest single revival ever recorded in history took place. It did not take place the first time. Now that ought to be encouraging to you and me. Now I'd like to be one of the first time Christians. I'd like to be one of the ones when God spoke, I answered immediately, but I've got this problem. It's a sin problem. It's a pride problem. And you probably don't have the same problem I have. I have a problem obeying sometimes. I have a problem. God needs to spank me like I used to spank my kids for not obeying when I was told. But I'll tell you something. I'm so glad that God called to Jonah a second time, because had God not called and had Jonah not responded, we wouldn't have that great revival in history. God gave Jonah a fresh start regarding his obedience. Someone here feels like you have been in the whale's belly. You have disobeyed God and everything around you is kind of falling apart. Can you know what it was like in the whale's belly? Rotted food. You have any idea? I mean, sooner or later, it's going to come out the other end. That's what Jonah was floating with. You may say, "Brother Owens, that's what my life is like. My life stinks. Everything's falling apart." Well, let me tell you something. Many times, not all the time, but many times, you can trace a stinky life to disobedience to God. Maybe you're in the whale's belly of your life. You disobeyed God. And as a result of it, you say, "I'm surrounded by stink. My life, it smells. My life, my life isn't what it needs to be." Hey, God will give you a fresh start. You can still obey Him. You used to want to obey the Sunday school lesson taught in Sunday school. Do you need a fresh start? You used to obey the Ten Commandments. Now you wouldn't care if they took them down all across the country. You used to obey God's leading. Do you need a fresh start? You used to obey what you read in the Bible. Do you need a fresh start? You used to obey the preaching. Now you just criticize it. Do you need a fresh start? Have you lost your passion to obey God in all things? Have you lost your passion to obey God in all things? Somebody here needs a fresh start, a rejuvenation of your passion to obey God, even in what you call the little things. Do you need a fresh start? I see when I look at the story of Jacob that God gave him a fresh start with his relationship with the house of God. Then I see that Jonah, he needed the rekindling of his spirit in regard to his obedience to God. And somebody here needs a fresh start about obeying God. obeying God even into little things. Thirdly, I see another, and these are not names tucked away that we've never heard before. We've heard the name Jacob. Thank God, God gave him a fresh start. You say, well, boy, I'm embarrassed and I need a fresh start. You're in good company. You're with Jacob. You're with Jonah. You're with Moses. Moses had a fresh start concerning helping people. I'll read to you from Exodus chapter 3, verse 2, where the Bible says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked and beheld, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed." God here appears to Moses, offering him a fresh start in helping people. And I promise you, that was an encouragement to Moses. Let me tell you the story. Moses was reared as a son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was a Hebrew. His people were slaves to Pharaoh. He decides to join and help his people and give up a life of luxury. In his anger, Moses one day realizes that some of his people who are slaves to Pharaoh in the very household in which Moses has been reared, they're now persecuting Moses' people. And in anger one day, Moses kills an Egyptian. Bible says in Exodus chapter 2, verse number 12, "And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand." You see, Moses, he wanted to rise up. He wanted to help his people. But Moses, in anger, he got himself into trouble and he kills a man. And his plan to help people has got to be delayed because of his behavior. The whole reason Moses was going to stand up for this slave is because Moses wanted to help people. And Moses kills a man in this effort to help people. God said, "I'm going to have to get you out of Dodge." And so God takes Moses and he is led to the desert of Midian, and he is on the backside of that desert. He's back there, and see, inside Moses was the desire to help people. Inside Moses was the desire to make a difference in people's lives. Inside Moses was the desire to influence people. But Moses had done something wrong. They had to take him to the backside of the desert, and he was out there on the backside of the desert taking care of animals, and he wasn't really influencing people like he wanted to influence people, and one day God came to him. Can you picture Moses out there on the backside of the desert thinking, "I blew it. I wanted to help people, and I wanted to make a difference, and I want to make a difference in my church or in my town or with my family, and look at the mess that I made of things." And the Bible says that God shows up and shows himself to Moses in a burning bush. And God said, "Moses, I'm going to give you another shot at it. I do not know if it's religiously appropriate, but I'm going to guess Moses did this to God. Give me fire. Thanks for the chance. Thanks for letting me try again." And God speaks to him again, and God said, "Moses, I know you wanted to help people, and when you launched your attempt the first time, you got a little bit rough. Kill somebody." He said, "But this go-around, I want you to learn from it, and I'm going to give you another chance to serve and help people." There's somebody here. Somebody here today needs a fresh start in helping people, like Moses was given a fresh start in helping his people. You used to win souls to Jesus Christ, but you don't anymore. You need a fresh start. You need a fresh start in regard to the souls of men. I was so delighted. Hope Martin is one of our special needs ladies. Hope is sitting down front here. Most of our church knows exactly who Hope is. Hope attends a Sunday school class. It's especially for special needs adults. It's called the Sunshiners class. Hope is a special gal. Hope won someone to Jesus Christ this week. Those of you say, "Well, I couldn't do that." Hope can show you how. Oh, let me tell you something. There's some of you used to have a passion to make a difference with people, and you used to want to serve people, and you used to want to do good and make a difference in the lives of people's children. You want to make a difference in their life. But what's happened to you? Somebody here needs a fresh start. You need a fresh start. You used to work in the nursery, but you're not there anymore. You need a fresh start. You used to be involved in the bus ministry, but you're not there. You need a fresh start. You used to teach Sunday school class. You used to want to teach Sunday school class, but what's happened to you? You need a fresh start. You used to want to have a servant's heart. What's happened to your servant's heart? What's happened to your humble desire to say, I just want to be used of God? It does not matter in what position. It doesn't matter in what arena. I just want to be used of God. Somebody needs to drop the demand for the position that you require to have your holy presence be available and say, I'll do anything. I just want to serve God. That's all that I want. Does somebody here need a fresh start in regard to their passion and desire of helping people? Serving God's people is a privilege. Serving people is our responsibility. You want to make sure, hey, do you need a fresh start? A fresh start? And since I'm at a breaking point, young people over here, I want you to look up here. I want you to look up here. I want you to be very respectful. I'm not mad at you yet. So you pay attention right here, and that way you don't interrupt the people behind you. Now we'll have a fresh start for the next point of the sermon. Speaking of fresh start, how about a fresh new marriage? A young man came home from the office and found his blonde bride sobbing out of control. I feel terrible, she told him. I was pressing your suit, and I burned a great big hole in the seat of your trousers. Forget it, consoled her husband. Remember that I have an extra pair of matching pants that goes with that exact suit. She said, yes, and we're so lucky. She said, I use them to patch the hole in the one I burnt. Let me tell you all something. I am so glad that God in His infinite wisdom and mercy and in His grace, He did not come to us and say, you got one chance, and you've got one chance only. I'm glad that God came and said, I want you to take your first chance. I want you to make the best of it. And if you do something great, I'm going to be very, very pleased. But just so you know, I've got a backup plan. Just so you know, I've got a spare tire of God's will for you. And just so you know, if you don't accomplish it all the first go around, we're going around again, baby. I'm glad that God's that way. I'm glad that God did not require me to do it all right the first time. He would like for me to do it right. He's not condoning you and I not doing right. He's coming along and saying, in case the devil, your enemy, comes along and he trips you up, that God is saying, I'll be there for you. I've got your back. I've got something else that you can do. And God came to Jacob and he said, hey, I want you to get right with the house of God. You've gotten away from it, but I'll give you another chance. God comes to Jonah and says, I'll give you a second chance to obey. I want you to obey me. God came to Moses and said, Moses, you're wanting to help people. You're wanting to make a difference in the lives of people and to serve people, and you didn't get it done the first go around, but I'll give you a chance. I'm gonna give you a chance to serve and help people. I see the story of Samson. The story of Samson, who had a fresh start concerning the power of God on his life. I'll read to you from Judges chapter 16. The Bible says in Judges 16:28, and Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once. O God, that I might be at once avenged to the Philistines for my two eyes. Let me tell you and remind you of the story of Samson. Samson's birth was foretold by an angel. Samson was later in life filled with the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God aided him in judging the people of Israel. With his bare hands, he had killed a lion. At one time, he fought and killed 1,000 Philistines using the jawbone of a donkey as his weapon. It is said more of Samson than any other human being in the Bible that the Spirit of the Lord had come upon him. He was so powerful, he physically carried away the city gate of Gaza. When the Spirit of God was upon him, nothing could withstand him. He gave up that power, though. He gave it up because he started a relationship with a harlot named Delilah. And everybody here needs to protect the power. If you've got it on your life, you better protect it. He tells her the secret of his power. As a result, the enemy comes upon him. The Philistines come upon him. But he is powerless, and he is taken captive because he is now powerless. They put his eyes out, and they chain him to an old-fashioned grinding mill. They treat him like a donkey. He's walking around that grinding mill with his eyes out, and he is now powerless. Many years later, the Philistines take him to a great coliseum, and they plan to use him for entertainment. It's an amazing thing. Samson's had plenty of time to think about it. Samson thought, I had the power of God on my life. Samson had dreams, and he would have, I picture Samson having nightmares, thinking back to the time when the Spirit of God would come upon him, and he could take on 1,000 men and win the victory for God. Samson was a powerful man. Samson had something great happening in his life, but now he's blind, chained like an animal to that grinding mill. I think Samson had some time to say, God, please, give me another crack at it. God, give me another chance. God, help me to get back on board. But day after day after day, it seemed like nothing happened. One day, his captors came. They said, we're going to take Samson down to the Colosseum, and we're going to mock him, and we're going to use him like an animal, and we're going to destroy him. And Samson said, God, please, give me one more shot at it. Please, and the Bible says in Judges 16:28, and Samson called upon the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged for the Philistine, for my two eyes. He said, God, please, one more time. Just let me have your power one more time. And God said, all right, Samson, but you wait until you get to the Colosseum. The Bible says they took him down to the Colosseum where they planned to torment him and torture him and mock his God. And then Samson, the power of God came upon him. The Bible says that in Judges 16:30 about Samson. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the Lord's and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at death were more than which he slew in his life. These were the enemy. These were the enemy of God. They mocked God. They didn't want anything to do with Jehovah God. They had had Jehovah God's champion. They had him chained down. They had him scared. They had him intimidated. But he had realized in all the time of his captivity that there was a God of a second chance. He realized that maybe there was just one little chance. God might get him another shot at it. They took him down to the Colosseum. He went to where the pillars were. He said, okay, God, let's see. Let's see what will happen. He could feel the power generating in his body. He knew that God was upon him. And the Bible says as he pushed the pillars into the whole Colosseum, class. He killed more of the enemy in that one day than he had with his whole life. What had happened? God gave a man a second chance to have the power of God on his life. A second chance. A second chance. Do you need a fresh anointing of the power of God on your life? You may say, well, why in the world would you say this to a congregation of probably 950 to 1,000 lay people? Because lay people are to have the power of God on their lives too. It's not just for the evangelist. It's not just for the pastor. It's not just for the assistant pastor. It's not just for the missionary. You want a revival at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church? Then you have to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God. And you have to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God. And you have to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God. You say, but Lord, I tried it once, and I didn't seem to get it. Try it again. Try it again. Don't give up. You say, but I feel like the devil's got me chained. I feel like he's got me down. I feel like he's got me captive. Hey, God's still alive, and God's still looking for some people that want to be used. You can still have the power of God. There is no Christian more miserable than the one who at one time had God's power on their life and they no longer have it. You'll be critical. You'll be miserable. You'll see nothing but negative. Nothing but negative. Nothing but negative. You're blinded. Listen to me. God offers you a fresh start with His Holy Spirit. God's work is spiritual work, and it should be done in a spiritual way. I want to tell you something. One of the great things that can happen to a bunch of Christians in a church like ours, we do the work of the Lord. We have 72 Sunday school classes. We're a busy group around here. We're serving God. We just don't come to church to be entertained. We came here to get our work orders. Let me tell you all something. Your experience sometimes can be your biggest enemy. Because you get a little experience about you and you don't seem to need God anymore. You now know how to preach a sermon and you don't need God anymore. You know how to organize your bus route, but you don't need God anymore. You've learned some technique about how to build a Sunday school class and you don't need God anymore. You're singing on the platform and you know how to breathe and how to stand and you know how to memorize your music, but you don't need God anymore. Hey, your education is not what God needs. God needs the Holy Spirit of God. And may I say, I think the education's great. There's some say, well, just throw the education out. What's wrong with being an educated person that has the power of God on their life? You don't have to throw the education out, not at all. You ask to the Holy Spirit of God some education on how to do it. Somebody here needs a fresh start in regard to the Spirit of God. Some greeter here needs a fresh start on the Spirit of God on their greeting. Some nursery worker needs a fresh start with the power of God upon the work that God's given you to do. Hey, Sunday school teacher, are you teaching in the flesh? Because now you know how to do it. God doesn't need people that know how to do it. God needs people that knows that He knows how to do it. Hey, Peter. Peter had a fresh start. His fresh start was to be used in a great way. Acts 2:41 says, "Then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them 3,000 souls." We've heard the story of Peter over and over again, and is worthy of our reciting again. He was first one of the chief, if not the chiefest apostle. Jesus gets arrested. Peter's courage fails him as he follows Jesus afar off. Peter swears and he denies publicly that he's even with Jesus Christ. He realizes what he has done. He goes away, and the Bible says he weeps bitterly. He planned to quit serving God. He embarrassed himself. He goes back to his living of fishing. There he is. Peter said, "God, Jesus gave me a chance. He was on his way to the cross at Calvary, and I denied him. I lied that I even knew him. I lied that I was even with him. My chance of serving God's over." And I'll guarantee you, old smutty face rushes to your side the minute you disappoint God. And the devil says, "Your chance is over." The devil's a liar. He's a liar. I'm sure the devil was hot on Peter's trail, and I'll tell you why. I think the devil seen the potential of Peter, and he said, "If I've got him down, I'm going to keep him down. I'm going to keep him down. I'm going to rub his nose in it. I'm going to make sure that Peter never gets back up." Peter says, "I'm going to go fishing. I get up. I've already messed up. I denied the Savior that I had been so close to." Peter is fishing at the Sea of Galilee. Jesus shows up. Jesus, this meeting causes an empty fish net to be filled. You know what comes next? Jesus says, "Peter, got you a preaching engagement." Peter said, "I'll take anything." Jesus said, "Well, I got a feeling it's going to be a biggie." "Well, what city?" "Well, I just want you to show up at Pentecost." "What do you want me to preach?" "Jesus." He said, "Well, I'll go." But I can picture the thrill in the heart of Peter when Jesus said, "I'm going to give you another chance." Peter always wanted to do something great for God. That's part of Peter's problem. He's so rambunctious. He was so rambunctious. Can you picture the day that Peter showed up to preach at Pentecost? Everybody done all the work. The crowd was massive. Peter stood up, the Holy Spirit of God came upon him, he started preaching. People started walking the aisle. "Here comes one. There's another one. There's number three. Number four. Number five. There comes 10. There's 20, 30, 40, 100, 200, 900, 1,000, 1,000 have come. 2,000 have come. 3,000 people. Anybody want to get baptized?" "All 3,000 have said, sure." He said, "We don't have baptismal robes." Peter backslid on a boat, figuring he would never be used greatly of God again. Many days later, 3,000 people get born again and baptized. That means they were getting their tithing envelopes. You say, "Brother Owens, there was a time when I thought I would be used of God." Well, our God's a God of a fresh start. You used to be used of God. What happened? "I just used of the devil." Because somebody's using you. You used to be used to bring folks to church. God offers you a fresh start. You could be used again. You used to be used to encourage God's people. Do you need a fresh start? You used to be used in keeping people in the church. Do you need a fresh start? You used to be used at keeping people's attitudes positive. Do you need a fresh start? You used to be used in the building of a Sunday school class. You used to be used in the building of a bus route. You used to be used in the lives of children. You used to be used in the lives of teenagers. You used to be used, hey, some of you used to be used in your own family's life, but you're not anymore. Somebody needs a fresh start. You can be used of God again. Just ask Peter. You know, the prodigal son had a fresh start. We know, reared in a Christian home, demanded his inheritance, took it out, wasted it all, came home, and when he got home, somebody said, okay, son, I'll give you a fresh start. Somebody here needs a fresh start with your husband. Somebody here needs a fresh start with your wife. Somebody here needs to say, okay, let's try again. Let's try again. Hey, somebody here needs a fresh start with your mama, or a fresh start with your daddy. Somebody here needs a fresh start. Somebody here needs a fresh start with someone that you love. Maybe you need to offer a family member another chance. You know, as Christians, when our family members try to get right with us, we ought to be wanting to get right with them. Wanting to get right with them. That hurt, proud wall that you build that says, well, I'm not going to. As a Christian, you ought to want to be right with your family. Bitterness develops within our families. It's a poison. It is sin when family members don't get along, and the family of God ought to get along. Hey, backslidden Christian, did you know you can have a fresh start? 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Did you know you can come back to God? Have you lost your joy? Come get a fresh start. Have you lost your peace? Come get a fresh start. Have you lost your feeling of usefulness for God? Come. There's a fresh start available. Are you spiritually defeated? Get a fresh start. Are you backslidden? Get a fresh start. Have you surrendered to temptation? Get a fresh start. Have you developed into a powerless Christian? Get a fresh start. Have you ignored the leading of God in your life? Get a fresh start. Just come and ask God for His forgiveness and He'll give you a fresh start. Has your love grown cold? Come. Get a fresh start. David asked God for a fresh start. David had made a mess of his life, and he says in Psalm 92:10, but my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of an unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. That was God saying, my Holy Spirit will come to you again with fresh oil. You had some anointing before. I was with you before. But don't give up. I'm coming back. I'll speak to your heart again. You'll thrill at the preaching again. You'll tingle at the singing of the old time religion again. You'll look forward to church again. But I'm offering you a fresh start. God is a forgiving God. God's people are to be forgiving people. Let me tell you something, just so you know. We have many visitors here today, and though it might not exactly apply to you, let me say to the membership of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, both those that attend our church and those that don't, that listen to the CDs, they listen online. If you ever need a fresh start with your pastor, it will always be available. The people that sit on the lower floor of this massive congregation, let me say, if I hurt you or you hurt me, I'm going to make you a promise to the best of my ability and with God's help. You always have a fresh start available with Jeff Owens. I am bitter with no one. I'm angry with no one. I'm the enemy of no one. And I want a fresh start always with God's people. If you ever need a fresh start with your preacher, just come on down. I'm good for it. I want it. I would enjoy it. And it ought to be that way with all of us. It ought to be that way with all of us. You say, what would stop me? Your pride. Pride can stop us from a fresh start. The devil can stop us from a fresh start. Fear of man can stop us from a fresh start. Don't let your fear of failure stop you from a fresh start. Somebody here needs to rededicate your life. You just need to come and say, I need a fresh start. That's what I need. And then we need to give them a fresh start. That may not mean that if you've not been in church for 2 years that I'm going to make you an assistant pastor tomorrow. But you'll get a fresh start of forgiveness and love and kindness and gentleness and help so you can grow back to being a productive Christian. If you're not saved today, I want to recommend that you get you a fresh start. How would you like to be forgiven of all your sins? If you've never been saved, God can save you and give you a new life in Christ Jesus. Salvation brings a fresh outlook on life. Salvation brings you something new for which to live. A fresh start. I am so glad that God didn't come and require us to get it the first time and to be flawless for the rest of our life. Now, He wants it, and we ought to attempt to give it to Him. But if our God can give us a second chance, I think we should be able to give each other a second chance. Anybody here need a fresh start?